You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
But when you meditate on things, sometimes things come alive to you, sometimes things burn in you, sometimes things arrest your attention. That's when you need to slow down and see what that thing is and what that thing is about. Happens to me a lot of times when I'm reading Scripture. You know, I'll read across Scripture, and then one Scripture just kind of jump at me, and maybe I'm not quite getting it, but it kind of bumps in my spirit, as it were, and arrests me, as it were, and I get to thinking there's something else in there I'm not getting, and I'll just go back over it and go back over it. That's when you need to slow down, amen, because you want to get the full flavor of that thing. You got to chew your food before you swallow it. And as you meditate on it and chew on it, sometimes confessing it and praying it and, you know, hang around that Scripture for a few days, it starts coming alive. I mean, it happens all the time, because God's Word is a revelation. Amen? It's not just an intellectual book. It's intellectually sound. I think it's scientifically sound, archaeologically sound, geologically sound, historically sound. You can look at it any way you want to. It's right. The places, the peoples, the lands, the culture, the customs, all that's, if you want to study that out from that standpoint, the Bible's unique amongst religious books. When it talks about places, they're real places. And when it talks about people, they're real people. It talks about people's sins and their goodness. No perfect people in the Bible except Jesus. Even the heroes of the Bible, it paints them as human beings that made mistakes and sinned and repented and came back. And are you with me? But beyond all that, I mean, it's God's book. It's a revelation. So within it is the truth of God that burns in us and changes our life and current even for today. That's what I love about it. It's the standard that has never changed. It is the scale or the tape measure that we measure everything off of. And without it, we have no measure. We have no standard. Are you with me? That's what's wrong with the world today. No standards. There's nothing to measure anything off of. There's nothing that's always absolutely right and absolutely wrong. We don't believe in absolutes. We don't like absolutes. I always want to ask people that say, I don't believe in any absolutes. I always want to ask, are you absolutely sure? Because if you don't believe in absolutes, you just told me one. There are no absolutes. That's absolutely true. There are no absolutes. Well, that's contradictory. You can't say that. You already gave me an absolute. So that won't work. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about growing into goals. Everybody say growing into goals. That's a part of the process I think we often leave out. We talk a lot about the event. We don't make much of the process. You know, we want the power of Pentecost. We don't want the 10 days in the upper room. Are you out there? We want the results, but we don't want to, you know, we want to eat the bread, but we don't want to go out there and harvest it and cook it with a little red hen. We just want to show up when it's cooking and we can catch the aroma of it. We live in a country that way, a nation of victims. We think we're victims of everything, and we ought to depend on the government. The government's not there for you to depend upon. Are you with me? The government's there to provide an environment where you can be the best you can be through work and using principles and talents and so on and so forth. Now, thank God the government's there when you actually need it. But I think sometimes we've got the idea it's just there for us. But actually, there is no such thing as a government there for us. Actually, we are there for the government. The government is an extension of us. It only operates on our taxes and our good hard work. Hardworking people pull wagons that people are in because they can't work. Are you with me? And there are people that legitimately cannot work. There are people that are not able to do that. There are people that are disabled and people that have problems and people that work pull that wagon. You know, and that's how government operates. It operates on those pulling the wagon, not on those in the wagon. And if you're in the wagon and you're in that situation, don't feel condemned. I mean, hard times hit everybody. That's what we're all here for. Are you with me? But the government exists on our taxes. It exists on our good graces. We don't exist the grace of the government. The government exists the grace of the people. And we all exist by the grace of God. Are you with me? So if we can do anything, let's do what we can do. And let's depend on God. Trust God. Amen. And use the principles that he's given us. You know, God has given us all kinds of principles that if we'll operate those principles, he'll make our life better. We're not going to all be millionaires. We're not going to all, you know, drive 15 different cars or fly 15 different jets, but it depends on where we are and what we're doing. But we can improve. We can get better. We can do more. We can reach out. You know, I was in India one time and years ago and preaching on faith and healing and prosperity. You know, I believe in prosperity. I don't believe in crazy prosperity. You know, I believe in biblical prosperity. And people are asking, how can you preach prosperity to those Indians, you know, over in India when they're walking from church to church? I said, well, I'm preaching, getting them to believe God for a bicycle if they're walking. And if they're riding a bicycle, I'm getting them to believe God for a motorcycle where they can go a little further and reach another village. If they got a motorcycle, I'm believing God to get a car where they wouldn't have so much trouble in the rain, the monsoons when they come through. You take where you are and you believe God to take you to the next level. And the whole purpose is to reach more people. Are you with me? So we can do more. We can help more. We can, you know, why would you want to just get your car paid off and your house paid off? To have more money? Well, really, actually, to have money to give. So you can help somebody else pay their car off, help somebody else pay their house off. We got to get out of ourselves and get our thinking into others. Prosperity is about others. Sure is getting quiet in this church. But that's just one aspect. I mean, I just mentioned that. It could be anything. It could be emotional. It could be marital. It could be physical. It could be, just your psyche, your mind, your mental state, and so on and so forth. You can improve. You can set goals, and you can achieve them, but there are probably things you need to do to get there. Galatians 6, y'all found it? Real simple scripture. We all know it. You've heard it many a time. I've preached it over and over, different aspects. And I'm not talking specifically about money here today, so don't get the idea when I use this. Galatians, the 6th chapter, in the 7th verse, Paul speaking here, and he is talking about money here, but I think the principle overall is in any area. He says in the 7th verse, the last part of it, he says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Everybody say sow. Everybody say reap. Okay. Now that's a principle. That's something we see all through the Bible. Jesus even said in Mark 4th chapter, he said, the whole kingdom is based on sowing and reaping. He said, if you don't understand this parable about sowing and reaping, you don't understand the kingdom of God. For on this is the whole kingdom is based on this. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. Doesn't matter what you're believing. Doesn't matter what your goals are. Doesn't matter what your dreams are. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Hallelujah, somebody. I'm just trying to help you. Are you out there? Doesn't matter what you say over and over, and I believe in confession, I believe in speaking the word and saying the word, but if I'm not doing the things that agree with that confession, if I'm not doing what I can and not sowing the seeds I need to sow to bring that goal, that dream to pass, then just saying it's not going to make it happen, just dreaming it's not going to make it happen. Hallelujah, somebody. Boy, y'all are excited this morning. God always includes us in the miracle. We're always a part of the process. Everybody say process. Think about it. We're talking about process here, not just the event, but what brings us to the event. Not just the goal, not just the dream, not just the picture on the refrigerator we're believing for, but the process that gets us to that picture. That's what the Bible spends most of the time on. It's what we spend usually least of our time on. We spend most of our time on envisioning and dreaming and seeing it, but we don't spend hardly any time on how we're going to get there, or our strategy or our plans or changing something in our lives. And if you don't change something in your life, listen, if things in your life remain unchanged, then things in your life will remain unchanged. That's deep, isn't it? If you don't change something in your life, nothing's going to change in your life. That's what we're saying. See? So if you're okay with where you are, that's to keep doing what you're doing. If you don't like where you are, you need to change something. Because if you don't change anything, nothing's going to change. Just a simple principle. It's all through the Bible. In fact, the Bible is just filled with all kinds of instruction and commandments about doing this and doing that. So this will happen. So it may be well with you. You and your household. And if you'll hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight, keep his commandments which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you and they will overtake you. But if you got to back up where it says, if you hearken diligently to his voice, if you do that which is right in his sight, if you keep his commandments which he commands you this day. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. That means there needs to be like a self-check examination going on here in our life and finding out what it is we're doing. We may be doing something we need to quit. Are you with me? Or we may be not doing something we need to start doing. I think those are always valid questions, you know, when we're asking God for something or wanting to change something. And we need to first look at ourselves, because that's who we have the most control over. I don't have control over the world and all the circumstances of the world, but I do have control over me. I can adjust me. And if I get adjusted and I get right and I get in position, the blessing's going to come. There's no question it's going to come, because God wants to bless us. I just got to get in position to receive it. You know, I often use that example of football players, but you can have a great quarterback that has just got a tremendous arm and tremendous accuracy. But if the people aren't running, receivers aren't running the route they should run, and they're not in the place they're supposed to be, it doesn't matter that he throws the ball in that spot. If they're not there, they're not going to get it. And if they're not paying attention when the ball hits them, I've seen a lot of receivers reach up to get the ball and turn their head before it gets there, and the ball just bounces out. Now, you can't blame the quarterback for that. You can't blame his accuracy for that, because he was accurate. Are you with me? He's a good. That's a good throw. Old Butterfingers just dropped it. But the problem with it is the quarterback, it goes on his stats, incomplete pass. And then we look at his stats and we say, oh, that's not a good quarterback. Well, a lot of times it was a bad receiver. Now, I'd submit to you that's what goes on in our life in most cases. I think God's a great quarterback. God's very accurate. God does everything he says, and he always does it where he says he's going to do it. We're just not where we're supposed to be to get it. Or we're not paying attention, we drop the ball. And the world looks at it as a bad stat and say, well, God, you know, doesn't pay, serve God, you know, so-and-so. You see what happened to them. See, they never got anything when they prayed. Well, they weren't in position. It just goes down as a bad stat for God, but God was always on, always accurate. You and I have got to get in position to receive. We're not always where we should be spiritually. We're not where we should be emotionally. We're not where we should be mentally. Sometimes physically we're in the wrong spot. You know, God told Elijah to go to the river Chebar, and he said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, if he decided to come over here to the Trinity River, it wouldn't have worked, because that's not where God told him to go. Okay. But if he got to where God told him to go, then all of a sudden now, that's when the blessing comes. Amen? Getting where God wants you to be. Being where God wants you to be. Being who God wants you to be. Put you in a position for the blessing to flow and for your goals and your dreams and what you're praying and believing for to come to pass. I'm not saying you earn these things, you don't, but if you get in position, your faith grows. And faith is not just a dream. Faith is not just a vision. Faith is a reality. It's a way of living. It's doing certain things and saying certain things and acting certain ways. That's what faith is. Christianity as a whole is called the faith. Talks about those that err concerning the faith. Examine yourself, would you be in the faith? The faith. Some 30 times in the New Testament the word is used concerning Christianity as a whole. So it's more than just a confession. It's more than just believing something, which that is part of it. Are you with me? But it's actually a whole commitment. It's a lifestyle. Glory to God. God depends on us in our personal life to bring to pass his promises. I know that sounds terrible, but he really does. He depends on us to work with him. He depends on us to believe him. He depends on us to be in a certain position. He depends on us to do what he asks us to do. And if we'll do that, if we'll get in position, we'll work with God, hallelujah, then it will come to pass, just like he said. Oh, that's good stuff. Yeah, I love when you think about Moses, you know. I know I've shared this before, but it bears repeating to the point I'm making here. Moses comes along here, and he's keeping his sheep out there in the wilderness. Jethro, you know, Beverly Hillbillies, he's out there with Jethro. His father-in-law, Jethro, that was his name. But he's out keeping his sheep, and he sees this bush burning, you know, on the mountain. He goes up there, and God speaks to him and says, take off your shoes. You know, the ground you're on is holy. He used to sing an old song. Remember that song? Take off your shoes, for you are now on holy ground. Remember that song? You did not come this way by chance, but you were led here by God's hand. Take off your shoes, for you are now on holy ground. Anybody remember that song? Come on, put the hand up if you remember it. Three of you. Okay. I won't sing that again. But anyway, he went to the mount. He saw the burning bush, took off his shoes, and God spoke to him. He said, I have heard the cry of my people Israel, and I have come down to deliver them. I'm sure Moses is excited about that. He had to be. You know, oh my goodness, this is awesome. God's going to come down and going to deliver the people. And he says, and I am sending you. Now all of a sudden he's not so excited. You can read the account over in Exodus 3rd chapter. It's not excited at all. In fact, he starts crawfishing, as we say in East Texas. He starts backing up. He said, "Lord, I can't go." And he starts making all these excuses. He says, I can't speak. I stutter. He said, I don't speak. I'm not eloquent. You know, like you're going to tell God something he doesn't already know. And, of course, God told him. He said, I think I know that. Basically, he said, I made your mouth. I know. And he sent him anyway. But that's kind of the thing in our lives. We kind of want God to do something, but God's wanting us to do something. We're wanting God to move, but God's wanting us to move. We're asking God, but we're kind of armchair quarterbacking. You know, we want to sit on the couch and orchestrate the thing and tell God how to do it. And God always includes us in our miracle. That's what Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Notice how he said that many times. According as you believe, so be it unto you. Or do you believe I'm able to do this? Like that mattered. It did matter, didn't it? And so you see these miracles in the Bible, even in the New Testament, and it always had something to do with somebody doing something. Or there was always an action. When you have an individual miracle taking place, not groups and multitudes that were healed, when the Bible centers in on the woman with the issue of blood, or centers in on Jairus' daughter, or centers in on the centurion and his servant, or just this morning we talked about the Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman that came to Jesus because her daughter was possessed with the devil, or the man let down through the roof, or blind Bartimaeus over there on the side of the road. When it centers in on these individuals, and it begins to take apart what took place, the transaction, the dialogue between them, you always see a bold determination. You always see a pressing through the crowd. You always see a crying out from the ditch. You always see a roof being taken off. You always see a determination not to be denied. You see a human element in the miracle. Now, the miracle comes from God. He is the miracle worker. He is the healer. But you see someone determined to get in position to grab a hold of this thing and not let go of this thing, to do everything in their power to get this thing to happen. In other words, they weren't going to quit. They were going to keep coming, and they were going to hold on till they got it. Amen. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about doing everything we can do. We're talking about, am I living the life I should live? Am I praying the way I should pray? Am I forsaking things that I need to forsake? Am I starting to do things I need to do? Am I reading as I should? Am I praying as I should? Am I serving God as I should? Those are good, valid questions. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know that. But I don't want to be out of position when the blessing comes. I don't want to be in the wrong spot when the rain comes. Amen? I want to be where I'm supposed to be. And I am vital in this, and you are vital in this thing, and you count, and you're important, and God wants to use you, and you can do it, but you just need to stop here once in a while and think about your life and think about where you are. You know, some of the questions I like to think about when I'm asking, you know, if I'm believing for something or a goal or I'm trying to change something in my life or whatever the case is, some of the questions I like to ask is, what do I want to happen first? What is it that's not happened that I want to happen? Pure and simple. What is it that I want to be different? You know, maybe it's healing in my body. Maybe it's a clearness of mind. Maybe it's a better marriage. I got a great marriage, so there's nothing really to do there. I couldn't leave Brent if I wanted to. Goodness gracious. And if I wind up dead somewhere, it's not suicide. You can investigate her because I'm not going to kill myself. She'd come after me. She'd make sure. I'm not worried about that. Brenda would. Hello. But what do I need? What do I need to do to make this happen? Is there something I can do to make this happen? Now, I know we're believing God. We're trusting God. We're putting our faith in God. But many times over and over, we see God speaking to us when we ask him something. You see that in the Bible, don't you? So why don't we go that step? Why don't we just, we're believing God for something now. Should I be doing something to make this happen? Should I start doing something I'm not doing? You know what Hebrews 12:1 says? It says, seeing we're encompassed by so great a cloud of witnesses. And he's talking about all those men and women of faith in the 11th chapter, leading up into the 12th chapter, that did many things by faith. They did by faith Moses, by faith Abraham, by faith Noah. And it lists their deeds and things they did. It says, seeing we're encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Now think about that. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Because sometimes things hold us back, don't they? Things we're doing are not bad things. They're just things that take away our time with God, take away our attention and focus with our family. They may be good things in and of themselves, but they rob our time, as it were. It may not be some great sin in your life. The devil doesn't care about getting you in some great sin. His purpose is just get you away from God, get you away from his word, get you away from serving God, keep you from being too serious about the Lord. And anything will do for him. He doesn't care. If he can get you fishing on Sundays instead of coming to church. Now, Dick knows what I'm talking about. He loves to fish. But, you know, is there anything wrong with fishing? Not at all. But fishing on Sundays, you ought to go to church on Sundays. Are you with me? You can take a good thing, and the devil can use it to pull you away from the Lord. And I'm not just talking about Sunday church. Goodness, that's not the point I'm making here. I'm talking about your personal life. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about seeking God. Maybe you're watching too much TV. Is there anything wrong with TV? Yeah, lots. But anyway, there's some good things on TV too. I'm not opposed to TV, period. I think it was really made to preach the gospel. I think it was made to, and there are some good shows. But you know, you can watch too much TV. Oh, come on, you know you can't. Y'all quit being so quiet. Help me. Somebody amen. Something. Come on. Just anything. I mean, it could be anything. It could be reading novels. I read novels. You know, I read westerns, and I read fiction along with nonfiction. I read a lot of history too, and a lot of motivational books and Christian books and so on. But I keep a record. I write down, you know, the books I've read and when I read them. And I'll catch myself if I'm reading too many nonfiction. I'll stop and go, wait a minute, I'm going too far with this. I'll take a break, you know, as it were, and get out of that and start reading some nonfiction, some Christian, and some, you know, anything. It's not bad, but it can take away your time. You know, that's just a little thing. I just mentioned that. It could be sports. It could be hunting. It could be fishing and whatever else women do. I never know what women do, but anyway, could be shopping. It could be. Just a thought, you know, just, okay. So what do I want to happen? What do I need to do to make it happen? What do I need to quit doing to make it happen? That's what we're talking about. Sometimes it's a little thing we need to set aside. Who do I need to help me make it happen? You ever thought about that you're just not Superman? That you might need somebody to pray with you and believe with you? You might need some help. In fact, if your dream and your goal and your vision, you know, is just big enough for you to do it by yourself, it's probably not from God. The visions and goals and dreams that God gives us include other people. Yes, amen? Especially me. Boy, anything I dream or have a goal or a vision for the church is definitely includes a lot of people. It's always bigger than me. It's a lot of people need to get involved to make it happen. So those are questions that we need to ask ourselves. What do you need to make it happen? Not just not what you need to do, but what do you need? Sometimes it's beyond you, and you need help in some other areas. But this fact remains. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. Period. You know, a farmer doesn't get up in harvest time and say, I think I'll go plant tonight because tomorrow is harvest. No, there's a process, and he understands it's called the law of the farm. He has to plant when we've already planted onion slips. Hopefully the frost and the snow and all that came in late, didn't get them. But that time has already passed to plant onion slips. We're just talking about this, Dick and Ron and I, yesterday about onion slips and planting those and so on and so forth. There are times of the year to plant certain plants to get the harvest a certain year. Some plants take 3 weeks, 6 weeks. Are you with me? Some plants take a little longer. If you're planting Christmas trees, I hope you got about 5 years of money to hold on to till they grow. You know, it depends on what you're planting. But there's a process, and you understand that process. You can't subvert it. You can't turn it around. And in this day and age, we don't understand that a lot because we're not all farmers. My grandfather was a farmer. He farmed and moonshined, did a lot of other things. But anyway, my grandfather had a farm. My daddy always had a garden. I've got a can opener. That's kind of the way it goes. And we don't understand that. But agricultural laws is the way God operates. We need to examine ourselves, see if we're sowing the right things, planting the right things, to bring our goals to pass and our dreams to pass and our visions to pass. We're a part of the process. So let's keep ourselves in the equation. It does matter what we do. It does matter what we say. It does matter how we live. Amen? You know, James Allen wrote a book called As a Man Thinketh, and that's actually in Proverbs. As a man thinketh, so is he. But he said this in one thing I wrote down here. It says, men are anxious to improve their circumstances but are unwilling to improve themselves. Therefore, they remain bound. Wow, that's strong, isn't it? Oh, and here's a good one. Gandhi. You remember Gandhi? Gandhi was a little confused if that movie was correct when he said, I am a Christian, I am a Jew, I am a Hindu, I am this. He am confused if you believe that. But anyway, but his philosophy was not that bad. He had some good moral teaching. And he said, 7 things that will destroy us are wealth without work, pleasure without conscience, knowledge without character, commerce or business without morality and ethics, science without humanity, religion without sacrifice, and politics without principle. Man, that's powerful when you think about that. We got to have character. We got to have principle. Amen? We got to do this thing right. Hey, turn to Proverbs 14, if you will. This helping anybody? I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. I'm not trying to do that because I'm looking at me too. I'm always looking at myself and what do I need to improve and change. You know, your daily routine, your future is wrapped up in your daily routine, your daily habits, things that you do daily. You need to create some good habits. You first make your habits, then they make you. You ought to have a habit of reading the Word. You ought to have a habit of praying. I wouldn't get hung up with whether I got to pray an hour or whatever. Just pray. Just, you know what is good is take the telephone. We got the phone list back there. I do this all the time. I'll take the phone list and open it up, and I'll just go over the people and pray over the people. Just take. Sometimes I take a long time with it. Sometimes a real short time. But I look at the faces and I look at the names and I just pray over the people. You just pray over, God bless them. And if I know of something going on, I'll pray for healing. Or if I know this is going on, I'll pray for, you know, finances, whatever the case may be. But I pray that God just blesses them and I thank God for you. It's a help. It helps me to keep it before me. I mean, get emotional. But it helps me to keep you before me. And it's just a habit. It's a good habit. It's a real good habit. Are you with me? To do that. It doesn't take long to do that at all. You say, well, how do I do these? Well, just start thinking about ways to keep in front of you what God has made you responsible for. And we are responsible for each other. We should pray for one another. That's a good thing. You know, prayer's good. You know, praying for others is good for you. Hallelujah. The Bible says to do it over and over. Well, hey, how long does that take? You could take 5 minutes and do it. Or you could take 15 or 20 or a half hour, an hour if you want to. But just do something. Need to read the Word. Well, read a verse a day or read a chapter a day. You know, just take a time. It's not about managing time. It's about managing you. You can't manage time. Time just rocks on 24/7 every day. You can't manage time, but you can manage you. It's not time management. It's self-management. Oh, it's quiet in here. It's just looking at ourselves and say, are we being productive? We don't have to take 24 hours of the day, but just take some time to develop some good habits to reach some goals in your life. You want to be a better person? It takes effort to do that. It really does. Great it is to dream a dream when you stand anew by the starry stream, but a greater thing is to fight life through and say in the end if the dream is true. Take some fighting, amen? Hey, here's a real simple verse. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads to poverty. Just talking won't make it happen. It's changing something. It's doing something. It's process, not just event. Think about these words, too. I wrote this down. I thought this is... Sometimes we're all about inspiring people and getting people motivated and inspired. I have to watch myself because that's a lot of what I do as a minister is motivate you, you know, and get you charged or challenged or so on and so forth. But we got to go beyond just motivating. It's one thing to be inspired. It's one thing to be motivated. But it's another thing to know what we're supposed to do. So if you have, it's one thing to have information. It's another thing to be inspired. I think sometimes we do have a lot of information. We're not inspired to do it. But sometimes we're just having a pep rally. And it's obviously not going that direction this morning. But sometimes we're just having a pep rally. But we don't have any, what are we supposed to do with it? We walk out all charged, but we really don't have a plan. Are you with me? Motivation or instruction? Inspiration or information? Goals or growth? You grow into goals. You grow into them. You do it incrementally. You do it daily. You do it weekly. You do it monthly. You start becoming the person God wants you to be. And then the process brings you to the end or to the goal. We talk about Solomon being the richest man in the world, but did you know what God gave him? He gave him wisdom. And through wisdom, he prospered. He became that person that had all that money. He used such wisdom in all that he did in running the kingdom that multitudes of money came in, gold and silver, but it was a product of his wisdom. Wisdom is what brings it. We have vision, but do we have plans? We got destinations we want to get to, but are we on the road that takes us there? See, roads are engraved in stone. Principles don't change. The farmer knows that. He plants watermelons. He can't decide halfway through the process that he really wants squash. He can go out there and pray over that field that he planted all those watermelons and say, I call squash to come out of this ground. He can put up stakes on the end of every row with squash pitchers on every one of them. He can put scriptures on the ends of every one of those things. But the problem was he planted watermelons. And so the DNA in sowing and reaping, because whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap, that's going to bring up the watermelons. And if we want to change the end result, we got to change what we're planting. Hallelujah. Oh, this is exciting. Hallelujah. Y'all calm down and let me finish this message. So roads, if you're on the road, it'll take you to that destination. Are you doing the things that are going to bring that thing to pass? Are you in position to receive what God wants you to receive? I know you're praying about this, and I know you're believing for this, and I know you're trusting God, and we all should do that. But then we also should stop after we pray, or I'd submit to you, if you're really praying as you should, God's going to be speaking to you while you're praying. We ought to stop and look at ourselves and say, okay, what do I need to change? Okay, God, what do I need to do? I don't want to be in the way. I want to be in line with you. I want to be a worker with you. Now, is there something I need to be doing to make this happen? Is there something I need to quit doing to make this? Am I hindering you somewhere here? I don't know about everybody else. It doesn't really matter what y'all do. It matters what I do for me. I often say that about finances. You know, Brent and I have been on an offering basis since we started the church. I mean, whatever you mark pastor, that's what goes to us. We don't get... The church doesn't pay us from general church. And if you don't mark the envelope, I don't take that money. If you mark general, it all goes to general. If you don't mark anything, it all goes to general. If you mark something, pastor, that's what I pay my salary out of. But now, having said that, and I say this very, I don't know, I can't say it, I don't want to sound arrogant, because it's not arrogance, it's just confidence. It really doesn't matter what you give. Your giving doesn't cause me to succeed. My giving causes me to succeed. If I don't give, God won't bless me. If I give, he will bless me. And he may use you, he may use somebody, I don't know, but I'm not looking to anybody, I'm looking to him. And if I do what he says, he's going to bless me. My prosperity is not dependent on your giving, it's dependent on my giving. And you get a hold of that too. Your prosperity is not dependent on what everybody else does. It's dependent on what you do. You got to get out of your thinking, oh, so-and-so didn't do me right. Well, maybe they did, and I've been burnt too. But you know what? If I keep doing right, God's going to bless me. This is not my first rodeo. I picked high cotton, low cotton, and no cotton. High cotton's better. But if you keep picking, you're going to keep harvesting. You're going to go through tough years and good years, but I'll tell you, God always comes through. He may not ever be early, but he's never late. Amen. No, he's early sometimes too. But you need to get your confidence in God and in the principles of God. The farmer depends on the principles of sowing and reaping, leans on them, yields to them, bases his whole life on them, and gets out there, and he knows that if he wants an outcome, he's going to have to get on the road that's going to bring an outcome. He's going to have to plant these seeds at this time to get that harvest at that time. There's no cramming on the farm like we do at college, you know, or in high school, where we study for the test the night before. You ever had kids do that? I know you've never had kids do that. You've probably never done that yourself. They're up to 2:00 in the morning Sunday night, and you're asking, what are you doing? I'm studying. I got a test tomorrow. They've had all weekend, are you with me? But they wait the last minute. Well, life doesn't work that way. There's no cramming in life. Life is a process. Life is about sowing and reaping. And what you're doing today is going to reap benefits way down the road. But if you don't get on this road, you're not going to reach that destination. Are you out there? Okay, turn to, we'll close this out. Turn to John 8th chapter. Is this helping anybody? Good. Lewis Timberlake, this is good. I read this in a book called It's Always Too Soon to Quit. I love the title. It is always too soon to quit. He says this. He said, every great achievement worth having has come from a steady progression of small achievements. I like that. I think it's John Maxwell that says every great success is just an accumulation of small successes over a long period of time. But he goes on and says this, every great achievement worth having has come from a steady progression of small achievements. This is true throughout life. You eat a meal one bite at a time. You read a book one page at a time. You walk a mile one step at a time. You go through school one course at a time. You build up savings accounts $1 at a time. And even our military leaders testify that big wars are won one battle at a time. If you want to make it through the tough times and achieve success, you must stop looking around in envy at what others have done and focus on God and on yourself and on what the two of you can do together to make your dreams come true. Don't feel sorry for yourself and give up. Do something about your plight in life, one small step at a time. Success is a direct result of your action. That's so true, isn't it? I mean, it's about doing the right thing. You know, you ever had a bad mood? Good mood? You ever felt like doing something and didn't feel like doing it? You know, if it's right, do it anyway. Don't do it because you feel like it. Do it because it's right. I have to make myself do things sometimes that I know are right because I don't always feel like doing it. My dad used to say, get up, dress up, and show up. That's what you have to do. You just get up and you make your plans when you're on top of the world. I mean, when you feel very spiritual and the presence of God is strong, that's when you need to make your plans for life. And then Monday morning, when the alarm goes off, you get up and you don't feel God's presence. You don't feel chipper. You don't feel like Mr. Bluebird's on your shoulder. You're not singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-a. That's when you work the plant. Amen? The farmer plants seed. Doesn't matter how he feels about it. It doesn't matter whether he has a headache that day. It doesn't matter whether he's feeling kind of puny that day. It doesn't matter whether he feels great that day. If he plants that seed in that ground, it's going to grow. Those are principles, amen? And the Bible's filled with them. John 8, y'all got there? Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to preach myself happy. If y'all not getting it, I'm getting it. You know, Aristotle said we are repeatedly what we do. I love that. Or we are what we do repeatedly. In other words, we make our habits and our habits make us. John 8, Jesus speaking, he said, 31st verse, John 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Everybody say abide. That means live continually. That means have a habit of being in the word. That's not just hearing it once in a while, but making it a part of your life somehow, some way. Then you are my disciples indeed. He didn't say then you're saved or you're Christians. He's talking about being a disciple. There's something different about a disciple than just a Christian. Christian is someone who believes in Jesus. Okay? A disciple is someone who's actively following him. Disciple is just an old Greek word. We get the word, it comes from math, the word M-A-T-H, math. It meant learning in general. We've taken it to mean a disciplined type of learning with numbers called math. But back in the Greek terms, it was just meant learning in general. So a mathetes is the Greek word translated disciples. It meant someone under learning, someone under teaching. So if you're continually in his word, then you are his disciple indeed. You're under his teaching. If you're continually in his word, if his word abides in you. Like I used to be a student of Center High School in Center, Texas, where I grew up. I cannot make that claim now. I'm not there. When I was there, I was a student. But I can't make the claim now because I'm not there. Well, now, I can make the claim I'm a Christian. I can't always make the claim I'm a disciple because I'm not always under the learning. If I check out, in other words, if I go, you know, I'm not under the teaching. To be a disciple is you stay under the teaching. You stay under the learning. Amen? So he says this, if you make a habit of this and you change some things in your life and you create some good habits of serving God and listening to God, praying, seeking God, and reading the Bible, and it doesn't matter who you are, what you do, what kind of job you have, or what kind of life you live, you can all do this. Amen? Well, a couple of you thought that was okay. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my words, you are my disciples indeed. Now, that's contingent on you. There again, you're involved in the process. If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, he didn't just say you're going to hear it every once in a while and it's going to make you free. He said if you abide in it, if you wrap your life around, if you change some things in your life, if you drop some things in your life that hinder, if you make this serious business with your, this a major in your life. This is your major in college. He says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Wow. How many of you want to be free? Totally free, really free. You can be. You can be free of anger. You can be free of drugs. You can be free of pornography. You know, I say that as an adult in here this morning. You can be free of cigarettes. Yeah, and you're not going to hell for smoking cigarettes. I'm just saying it's bad for your health. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. But it's a tough habit, isn't it? It's a tough thing to break. I had a lot of relatives. My dad died, you know, just terrible death. You know, smoked for 60-something years and had COPD and had oxygen tank the last year or so of his life. And it was a horrific death the way he died. I mean, no one should have to sit there and watch their parents die like that. Trying to grasp for breath and so on and so forth. But you know what? You can change that. You can quit that. You can heal up. Hallelujah. You can overcome anything if you'll make the adjustments in your life and let God help you. And I just say that as an aside. It could be anything. You could have a drinking problem. It could be you could have a lying problem. I don't know. You could gossip. But you could stop it, though. Whatever it is, you might overeat. I mean, you know, come on, there's all kinds of things. We're not talking about going to hell. We're talking about being a witness and improving our lives. Don't you want to live longer for your grandkids? I want to be around for my great-grandkids. I've had a blast with my grandkids. I'm glad I've lived as long as I have. I want to live longer. I want to see my great-grandkids. It's bigger than me, isn't it? So I need to do some things to make that happen, you know. And I want to be a good pastor. I don't want to burn out. I don't want to play out. I don't want to, but I'd rather burn out than rust out, I can tell you that. What I mean is I don't ever want to get tired of coming to church and preaching, loving you and praying for you, and I don't. I love this church. I love coming. I can't wait to get back when I go out of town or out of the country, you know. But I do things that keep that going in my life. I pray over you, and I think about you, and I'm always thinking about preaching and teaching and blessing and helping people, and my lifestyle demands it. If I do that, it makes me that way. My habits make me that way. And so it's not a drudgery, it's not a job to me. I love doing what I do. Goodness, I'd rather be here than anywhere. I love the church. How about you? You love church? Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, if you see some things in your life need to change, change them. Life's too short. Heaven's too high. Hell's too hot. We got one shot at this deal. We got to give it all we got. Amen? And we can, praise God.